Gary, congratulations on your first map.
Well, thank you very much. We're really quite pleased and somewhat astonished with the quality of the data. Today's Thursday, the 22nd, I guess, of September, so it's been 4 weeks from today since we got the instrument completely turned on and working in its normal operating mode. And what you're looking at in this picture is just about the first 2.5 weeks of data up through September 11th. We were just so amazed to see the quality of the data turning out the way you see it here. We were expecting it's going to take us quite a bit more time to work with the data and work out calibration issues with the instruments and so forth before we could achieve an image like this.
What I'm seeing on the map are various colors, reds and oranges for where the sea is saltier, blues and purples for where it's less salty. The Atlantic Ocean, right in the middle, about the latitude of northern Africa and Florida, is obviously very salty.
Yeah, that's the region we call the subtropics. Many desert areas are in those latitudes. The reason is there's very little rainfall there, and it works the same over the ocean as it does over land. Areas that are more arid over the sea, there's more evaporation off the sea, and when you remove that fresh water from the surface, it leaves the salt behind, so you see the salinity at higher levels than you do in other parts of the ocean where you might find more rainfall. Now, what's going on in the Atlantic relative to the other ocean basins? The difference with the Atlantic is that, on average, if you average over the whole surface area of the North and South Atlantic Ocean, you'll find that it loses more moisture to the atmosphere from evaporation than returns to the ocean surface either through rainfall or river runoff around the continents. So this maintains a higher level of saltiness in the Atlantic Ocean than in the other ocean basins.
It's evaporating a lot of water, not getting enough fresh water to replace it.
Out in the middle of the ocean, it's the balance between rainfall and evaporation that really maintains the salinity. It's losing moisture to the atmosphere much more rapidly than it's gaining it back in rainfall.
Looking at the North Pacific, which is very blue and purple, so it's much less
right.
salty than the other oceans. It's cooler, so there's less evaporation, and it must rain a lot.
It's a combination of both of those things. Actually, that moisture that evaporates off the Atlantic Ocean is carried by the trade winds, gets carried across Central America, and falls as rainfall in the Pacific. So the atmosphere is actually acting somewhat like a pump. It draws water out of the Atlantic Ocean and deposits it in the Pacific Ocean.
There are places where red and orange, salty, show up, and not far away there's blue and purple. What's going on there where areas can be so close together, one very salty, one much less salty?
Right in the center of the picture along the northeast coast of South America, you see a blue and purple ribbon of water streaming northward and then eastward.
That's got to be the Amazon.
That's part of the Amazon and Orinoco River outflow that gets captured in the North Equatorial Current system. It gets advected eastward. So you see a band of low salinity water all the way across the Atlantic Ocean in that latitude range. And actually, it's partly the river runoff and partly also that's the intertropical convergence zone, which is providing more rainfall to the ocean in that area.
Where the world's winds come together.
Yeah, this is a convergence zone near the equator. It migrates north and south with the seasons. This time of year, August and September, it's reached its highest latitude. And when that convergence zone gets far enough away from the equator, you get enough effect from the Earth's rotation that tropical depressions can build into hurricanes. And this is the region where hurricanes are born, essentially.
And that less salty water coming off of Brazil out of the Amazon, it's making sinuous curves. You can actually see it making its way across the Atlantic towards Africa.
Yeah, this is one of the things in this image that was really a surprise for us. We weren't expecting to see the extent of fresh water quite as far across the Atlantic. We know from classical measurements from ships and buoys and other things that there is a freshwater plume there, but we didn't expect to see it quite so extensively. I think we owe to ourselves to be very careful and examine this data and make sure it's carefully calibrated and that those readings are accurate, but I think that the general impression here is the correct one. Keep in mind, this is just the first light image. This is just the first glimpse of what we're getting from this instrument.
First light, traditional term for the first light, the first photons that come into an instrument.
Yeah, we're stretching that definition a little bit here because, of course, this is an accumulation of about 2 weeks of data, but it's the idea of our first release of information to the public.
People who make computer models of the world's climate are attempting to predict where it will rain more or less. A map like this will help them calibrate their models and see how close the models actually come to some sort of reality.
That's exactly right, and I think that's going to be one of the most important applications of this data with time, when the climate modelers begin to incorporate it. One thing you need to remember, Al, is that the global water cycle, when we talk about that, we're talking about evaporation, rainfall, and rivers. About 80% of that is happening over the ocean. It's the exchange of fresh water between the ocean and the atmosphere. So when we think about the global water cycle over the whole planet, most of it is driven by what's going on over the ocean. The climate models need to nail this down in order to really make good climate forecasts. And so this data will be extremely valuable.
Gary, it's been good talking with you. I look forward to talking again. Thanks very much.
It's great. Thanks, Al.
I'm speaking with Gary Lagerlöf. He is the principal investigator for the Aquarius mission. For KVMR, I'm Al Stoller.